Chapter 3, The Most Intelligent Woman. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How, then, can we women know you perfectly? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.20. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has received, who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Kunti Devi prayed to the Lord very submissively, and this is the symptom of a Vaishnav. The Lord Krishna had come to Kunti Devi to offer respect to her by taking the dust of her feet. Because Krishna considered Kunti Devi his aunt, he used to touch her feet. But although Kunti Devi, a great devotee, was in such an exalted position, practically on the level of Yasoda Mai, Krishna's mother, she was so submissive that she prayed, "Krishna, you are meant to be understood by the Paramahansas, the most advanced transcendentalists, but I am a woman, so how can I see you?" End quote. According to the Vedic system, there are four social divisions, Chaturvarnyam Mayashtishtam. The highest member of the social order are the Brahmanas, those who are intelligent, and then come the Kshatriyas, military men and administrators, the Vaishyas, farmers and businessmen, and finally the Shudras, ordinary laborers. One's place in this system is determined by one's qualities and work, guna karma. The Bhagavad Gita mentions Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudra, and the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam. According to these references, women, Shudras, and Dvijabandhus are considered to belong to the same category. The word Dvijabandhu refers to one who is born in an exalted Brahmana or Kshatriya family, but who has no qualifications of his own. One's social standing, according to the Vedic system, is determined by one's qualifications. This is very practical. Suppose a man is born of the son of a high court judge. This does not mean that he himself is also a high court judge. Just because one happens to take birth in a Brahmana family, even if he has no qualifications and is a rascal number one, he claims to be a Brahmana, and although his qualifications are less than those of a Shudra, people accept him as a Brahmana. This has caused the downfall of the Vedic civilization. The Brahmanas in India are sometimes very much against my movement because I train and accept Brahmanas from Europe and America. But we do not care about their arguments, nor will any other reasonable man. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prithivichi atyatra nagaradi gram. Sarvatra prachara habe moranam. In every town, city, and village of the world, the Krishna consciousness movement will be preached. End quote. How is it, then, that Europeans and Americans will not become Brahmanas? In fact, one who comes to Krishna consciousness has already surpassed Brahmanism. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Chio Vabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate, Saganan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One who takes to Bhakti Yoga surpasses the modes of material nature and comes immediately to the transcendental platform, Brahmabhuta. Not to speak of becoming a Brahmana, the person who fully engages in Bhakti Yoga attains the highest transcendental platform. The stereotyped, crippled idea that only a person born in a Brahmana family can become a Brahmana has killed Vedic civilization. But now, we are reviving the correct understanding that the attainment of perfection is meant for everyone. In Bhagavad Gita 9:32, Lord Krishna says, O son of Prita, those who take shelter of me, though they be low-born, women, Vaishyas, or Shudras, can approach the supreme destination. Thus, although women, Shudras, and Vaishyas are ordinarily considered to belong to a lower class, when one becomes a devotee, he or she goes beyond such designations. Women, Shudras, and Vaishyas are ordinarily regarded as less intelligent. But if one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is the most intelligent, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, quote, among all the living entities wandering throughout the universe, one who is very fortunate receives, by the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna, the seed of devotional service. End quote. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 151. The Krishna consciousness movement does not consist of wretched, unfortunate men. No. It consists of the most fortunate. One who has taken to Krishna consciousness is to be considered the most fortunate because he has found a way to act so that his life will be perfect. One who is Krishna conscious and discharging his duties nicely is the most fortunate and the most perfect. This is humbly stated here by Kunti Devi. Although Kunti had the body of a woman, she was a devotee. Therefore, she was not like ordinary unintelligent women. Rather, she was the most intelligent, for she recognized Krishna to be the Supreme Godhead. Quote, he has come to me to offer respect, materially appearing to be my nephew, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. Therefore, in a previous verse, she said, you are not seen by ordinary men, although you are everywhere, inside and outside. End quote. In another verse, she also said, fools and rascals cannot see you. End quote. This indicates that Kunti saw him. Unless she were able to see Krishna as he is, how could she say, na lakshyase mudra adrisha? She also said, prakriti param, you are transcendental to this material creation. Now, here also, in this verse, Kunti continues to express herself with humility. This humility is very good in devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us, chinadapi sihishana tororapi sihishana. One should be more tolerant than the tree and humbler than the grass to make progress in spiritual life. This is necessary because for one who is living in this material world, there will be so many disturbances, just as if one were traveling on the ocean. One cannot expect a very peaceful situation on the ocean. Even a big ship may also be unsteady, and at any moment there may be tumultuous waves. Similarly, in this material world, we should always expect danger. One cannot expect a very peaceful life within this material world. The Shastras, the Vedic literature says, padam, padam, yadvi padam. At every step there is danger. But if one becomes a devotee, then one can escape. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, in the beginning there will be many disturbances caused by Maya, the material energy of illusion. Maya will test us to see how firmly we are fixed in Krishna consciousness. Because she is also an agent of Krishna, she does not allow anyone the freedom to disturb Krishna. Therefore, she tests very rigidly to see whether we have taken to Krishna consciousness to disturb Krishna or are actually serious. That is Maya's business. So in the beginning, there will be tests by Maya, and we shall feel so many disturbances while making progress in Krishna consciousness. But if we follow the rules and regulations and chant regularly as prescribed, then we shall remain steady. If we neglect these principles, Maya will capture us immediately. Maya is always ready. We are in the ocean, and at any moment we may be disturbed. Therefore, one who is not disturbed is called Paramahansa. Kunti Devi therefore says, Tata Paramahansanam, you are meant to be understood by the Paramahansas. The word Parama means ultimate, and Hamsa means swan. So Paramahansa means the perfect swan. If we give a swan milk mixed with water, the swan will take the milk and leave aside the water. Similarly, this material world is made of two natures, the inferior nature and the superior nature. The superior nature means spiritual life, and the inferior nature is material life. Thus, a person who gives up the material part of this world and takes only the spiritual part is called Paramahansa. One should know that the activities of the body are due to the soul within the body. That is the real fact. The body is only the outward covering. Similarly, one should know that Krishna is the real center of all activities, and one who knows this is a Paramahansa. Thus, Bhakti Yoga is for the Paramahansa, one who knows that Krishna is the central fact. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Pavavam, Mata Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. So one who knows, not only theoretically, but practically, that Krishna is the cause of all causes, one who is convinced of this, is a Paramahansa. Kunti Devi says, You are meant for the Paramahansas, not for the rascals and fools. You are meant for the Paramahansas and Munis. The word Muninam refers to those who are thoughtful or to mental speculators, and the word Amalatmanam refers to one who has no dirty things in his heart. The heart of a materialistic person is full of dirty things. What are those dirty things? Lust and greed. All materialistic persons are lusty and greedy, and therefore their hearts are understood to be full of dirty things. But Amalatmanam refers to those who are freed from these two contaminations. Bhakti Yoga is meant for those whose hearts are cleansed, not for the lusty and greedy. Of course, those who are lusty and greedy may try to advance, and gradually they may do so. But once one is situated in Bhakti Yoga, there is no more lust or greed. This is the test. When one is free from lusty desires and greed, then he is situated in Bhakti Yoga and is actually a Paramahansa. Kunti Devi humbly submits, You are meant for the Paramahansas and Munis, those who are cleansed in heart and are engaged in Bhakti Yoga. But what are we? We are simply women. We are in a lower class. How can we understand you? End quote. Although she understands everything, still she takes the position of an ordinary woman and says, How can I understand you? This is humility.